A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today I am joined not by a guest, though she is a guest. She is my co-host for today, and you're going to hear her on a few more episodes in the coming weeks. We're just getting together, shooting the shit, so I don't have to talk to myself. Just trying something new. Sally Tamarkin. Sally's a writer, editor, and she's a sensitivity reader. She's based in Philly. She hosts the podcast Oh, I Like That. She and Rachel Wilkerson Miller were on G-Thanks a few months ago at this point. And you can find her shit posts on Twitter at Sally T. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Caroline. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy that we're doing this. So, I mean, I don't know if the cat's out of the bag, and I can always edit this part out, but Rachel got a big new job, and therefore probably like has to now go through like channels to do things like host podcasts.
Yeah, Rachel got an amazing new job. The cat is out of the bag. She is the editor-in-chief of Self, my alma mater. So it's like just makes my heart swell a million sizes that someone I love and admire so much is part of a brand that I really care about. Yeah. But yeah, so she has to go through channels and also I think is going to be busy doing editor-in-chief things. So she has stepped away from Oh, I Like That. But it is continuing. I did try to do a solo episode, Caroline, and
it's so
talking
hard.
Into a mic by yourself.
It's so hard.
It's a toughie.
It's so hard. I do usually every week unless I'm really not into it. And I've just tried to promise myself, like, look, if you're not into it, don't force it. Like I do like a 20-minute solo episode where I just talk about like the stuff that everyone's buying that week. We go kind of through a Facebook group if there was like a fun thread. And you can hear a difference in my voice when I'm just shooting the shit with my friend, with a guest, and when I'm like feeling like I'm on stage in a spotlight alone. I'm like, and no one can help me out. It's just me on my island and I do not like it. I don't like
it.
Yeah,
it's a very difficult island to be on, and it made me realize I recorded one solo episode, has not been released yet. It might get released, but I realize how much I rely on Rachel to pop in and be like, want me to say something that'll help you clarify your thought, or like just ask me a really good question or whatever. And I'm like, Rachel, can you help me? But just so people understand, Oh, I Like That is still going. It's just going to be changing. And actually, Caroline, you're going to come do some guest hosting with me, which is really exciting. But yeah, so if you listen to Oh, I Like That, don't delete us from your feed just yet.
To it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No one will be deleting. I just love to say things are changing. And yeah, Rachel got such an important job. I'm so excited she's the editor in chief.
Me too. I'm hoping that like we can somehow exploit her access to get weird things published in Self.
That's all friendship is about, really. Like
exactly.
Exploiting each other, just women women exploiting women, just getting our agenda. We're going to have to do like the gay agenda, the group chat agenda. We're going to have to get everything published while Rachel's in control. This is our time. We've come to
power. This is our time. Yeah, I would love the group chat to get a byline on Self.
I, as an ally, it's my time as an ally. I just want to reiterate, happy Pride, everybody. Sally.
Happy Ally Month. Yes.
Happy Ally Month. It's about me and just like loving everyone. I was actually watching, this is a good segue because it's about TV. I don't know how, if you watch Vanderpump Rules, I know we've talked about Bravo and Housewives and sort of like all of our weird Netflix reality versus Bravo versus MTV. But there is a scene in Vanderpump Rules, which is a Lisa Vanderpump spinoff show. She's a Beverly Hills housewife of okay. her restaurant and all of her servers. And every year, for some reason, every season there's like a Pride episode because their restaurant is in West Hollywood. And the Fire Island of Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. and you hear Lisa go to Jax, who's like the himbo. She goes, Jax, and Pride is for who? And he goes, the gays. And she goes, the LGBTQ community. And it is one of the funnier exchanges I have ever heard, because this is like prime 2012. We're on a Bank of America Pride float. We're not seeing the nuance. We're right. like dressing our male servers in angel wings and being like, yo, welcome, boys. But like, she literally stands up there and she's like, LGBTQ community, and I am an ally. And we're like, okay, Lisa. Anyway, she quit the show. That's so happy Pride to everybody.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, when you say that, all I think of is like the Bank of America float and the like absolute vodka bottle with like rainbow.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, it's like that's what Pride is about.
Yeah, that's what Pride is about, frankly. Let's be clear.
The last Pride I was in Brooklyn for, I was walking in Gowanus and all the floats were kind of in one of those back streets where they were like getting ready for either Brooklyn Pride or maybe that is where they were housing them for the Manhattan Parade. But all I saw was the Salesforce Pride float, and I thought, okay.
There's something even more like sinister. Diabolical. What? Yes, yeah, sinister. When it's like a kind of newer, like media company or .com. You're just like, really, Salesforce? Like, yeah. I think I'd rather see like the Wells Fargo float. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or like I told you at the at Dodger game Pride night, the Morton Salt girl went from girl. Wearing her navy blue schmata to wearing a rainbow colored schmata, and I felt like, if anyone hasn't been seen, they feel seen by the Morton Salt girl tonight.
Yeah, I've never been more represented. She's walking around with an umbrella, staring in like a desultory way at the ground. That's me. I get it.
But she's wearing a rainbow dress, and you know you are safe here in this salt, okay? That is what this is about.
The salt is a safe space.
The salt is a safe space. So speaking of TV, we hemmed and hawed for not that long before we landed on today's topic, which is something we haven't talked about on G Thanks before, but comes into our shopping. I don't know where, like the, what am I thinking of? What's that word? A universe, like a universe is the word I'm thinking of.
Okay. Universe. Yeah.
Streaming services, the ones we pay for, the ones we don't pay for. Streaming services notably sold to us 10 years ago as a way to save money from a predatory cable company subscription. And now I am sure I am paying like 10 times as much as I would be if I just had like a basic TV. But I'm too far gone. It's too late. I can't be stopped. What was the first streaming service you ever went for?
I think probably Netflix. Because I feel like that was one of the first ones, and I was already like, do you remember that period of time where you would get DVDs from Netflix, and then there was a period where you could also stream stuff and you would still get the DVDs as if you were going to watch them, but you never would. And then Netflix like ended that mass delusion for all of us when they stopped making DVDs even a thing. But like,
streaming was like an add-on, right? It was like you get your DVDs and like maybe if you want to like sign on to this browser, you can check out some movies that we have you could watch on your computer. And everyone was like, I don't get it.
I don't understand
what that would be for.
And the selection was like bad. Like there wasn't much stuff. What was there felt like we were in an era where like they couldn't get the rights to stuff people actually wanted to see or something like that. Yeah.
Netflix.com at that time felt like the equivalent to like a straight to DVD movie graveyard, where it was like, oh, do you want to watch like Scary Movie 17? Do you want to watch like this weird like bad version of, I don't know, like some remake of like the Cinderella story, not the one with Hilary Duff. Like, you've come to the right place.
That's 100% what it was. And I occasionally think to myself, Netflix, like, it's such a, just the word Netflix, it totally feels so old timey. It's like Radio Shack.
Yes.
I want the world to revisit Netflix, just the idea of Netflix.
It really has lost its original meaning to me. It's its own word now, you know, like
it's its own word.
But when you zoom out, when you step away and you think they came up with Netflix because it's internet movies you get from the internet. It's like that Netflix has done an amazing job making this part of our lexicon. That's a dumb name.
It is. It really is. And no one says net. No one's like said net since like the year that Netflix started. But here we are.
Yeah, you're right. Do you remember that Sandra Bullock movie, The Net?
Or The Net, like, I do.
Yeah. Like about hackers. I saw a meme once, probably like a TikTok that got converted into a reel that I saw 2 months after it went viral. That was just like what we all thought hacking was. And it's like a man in a suit like coming through a ceiling tile and like logging into the mainframe, and now what hacking is just those Facebook questions that of like boomers that are like, what is, you know, what's your stripper name, the street you grew up on, your first pet, and the year you were born, and like all
that
of our parents,
so
being like, burr, 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 like giving us all their information. It's so,
you know,
true.
It is so true. I don't want to take us too far off course, but I want to ask you if you've seen this phenomenon on Facebook.
Please.
Have you seen this thing where a radio station's like Facebook page posts a generic question, kind of like the stripper name thing, and
yes,
like tens of thousands of people, those pop up in my timeline all the time, and it feels like a relatively new thing, and I'm like, is this the new way that like our elections are being tampered with, or is this truly just like radio stations doing some polling? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. And I don't know, like, I know that like sometimes I will come across something on my news feed, if that's what we call it anymore on Facebook, that's like WKRR705, and like it's just something, I'm like, do I follow this? Like, how did this get in here? And it's usually because like a friend's mom commented on it, and then it like shows up as like I'm seeing her activity. But one of the things that I really think needs to be explored and would make a really great feature, just someone else would have to write it, is that like one time I was listening to the radio in the last like 2 or 3 years, morning radio, and you really, it is unhinged. It's unhinged content. You really get the sense that like they know that no one is listening anymore. We went from like everyone was listening to like, why would you ever have the radio on? You have podcasts, you have your car automatically plays all of your streaming music. You can listen to, you know, whatever you want. And all of a sudden it's the same like random question. I remember like driving and hearing someone being like, all right, we have, and I don't mean to say this because we were just making like the pride jokes, but literally what I remember is like, we have Leslie on the phone. Leslie, you say your dog is gay, and how do you know? And it was just like, this went on for like 5 minutes. And I remember I like stopped my car and like filmed the radio. I was like, I cannot even believe what I'm hearing right now. They just spent 10 minutes being like, we're going to do like 10 to 15, have people call in, you know, is their dog gay? And then we'll go on to the next thing. And it's like, no one's listening, because like, that's the kind of thing that if anyone was listening, you would have heard about it somewhere. And someone would have been like, this is insane. Like, what is this?
Yeah, they've dropped all pretense. There's like, you know, there's always like a joke in like, it's been in like a lot of sitcoms where like someone is like, I got a radio show. It's on from like 1 to 3 a.m. every Wednesday. And the joke is that like no one's going to be listening. That's like every radio slot now.
Yes.
And it's like the people who are hosting those shows and calling in are in some way like either not participating in society or are participating in a different like version of society than like a lot of other people.
Yes, that's those are the Facebook people. Like,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like those are the Facebook people. Like, it's so weird, but that you say that you have noticed, like, what's better, a sunny day or a rainy, like a sunny rainy day or a rainy cloudy day with no rain?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
And then you get like thousands of people being like, ah, well, you know what I think? And it's like, wow, like that is crazy. And it's also crazy that that's the same generation that we're that we grew up as with as authority telling us we had to be careful on the internet, not to share personal information. Now it's like all of our parents are just like typing in their social security numbers just so they can answer like a Facebook question.
Risking it all to respond to a prompt. What is the word you always misspell? Yeah. And also, not to take it to another place, but these are also this is the age range of people who are like making all of our laws too. That's the other thing.
That's where it gets sombering. You know, it's all fun and games until your friend's mom, who you just learned can't spell deliberately, is also voting in all local and national elections.
Exactly. That's so real.
I feel like my first streaming was actually Hulu, weirdly.
Interesting.
I think I had subscribed to the Netflix DVD thing, and I actually still believe that I have, or up until recently had, a Netflix DVD that I never returned.
That's incredible.
It was whatever the one... I can't even remember. I think it might have been like the King's Speech. So I hope
you deserve to own that.
I agree. It's the least they could do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think I downloaded Hulu because Hulu started getting Netflix was movies. This was like 12 years ago. Netflix was movies, and Hulu was doing, if you didn't have cable, you could watch like the episode from last night. You could watch up to a week. You had to watch it, and I think that was appealing to me because I was a really big Desperate Housewives fan. For some reason, I loved it and did not have cable, and I didn't want to keep paying to really date myself. Did not want to keep paying $1.99 per episode so I could put it on my video iPod, which is what I would do in the early 2000s. So I think that was what got me hooked on Hulu. And then up until 2015, Hulu just had ads. It was like $7.99 a month, and it had commercials.
Even if you paid, it had commercials?
Yeah, it was $7.99 a month, and it had commercials. And then in 2015 or 2016, it went to $9.99 a month with commercials, $12.99 a month for no ads. And I immediately upgraded myself because I watch. That saves me a lot of time. That's like 20 minutes of commercials. You know, I'm about efficiency.
I know. I am such a no commercial sicko. There's like no markup I will not give into to avoid commercials, which is wild because growing up, everything had like that was just like a reality of television watching. Like you dealt with the commercials. But now, you know, once you get a taste of the commercial free lifestyle, you sort of can't abide them.
It's like it doesn't have to be this way, you know. And but also I think commercials, there was more weight on commercials growing up because there were so few outlets for them to market through. So the commercials were better. Like now the only commercials I ever see are for like depression medication. But I already have one that works for me, so I don't need that. For like, I don't know, where did all the good commercials go? Like, you know what? We're just going to get off to, and it's going to be fine, and I don't really
care. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be great, and I love it. But what is your most, what's the most memorable commercial of your childhood? Like, something that really just stuck with you. And I didn't prep you for this, and I didn't put it in the doc, and I'm catching you off guard, but I got to know.
No, it's such a good question. This one is coming to mind only because I was recently telling my partner about it. Do you remember the commercials for Parquet? That like fake butter? This is like really dating myself. I mean, this is like maybe like early 80s or mid 80s.
Well, I know what Parquet is, but I don't know that I would know the commercial. But tell me all about it.
Okay, so there were basically these commercials where I don't even know how to, I just watched it recently. I don't know how to describe it. You would have like someone using the conceit of these commercials is the same as like the conceit of like Country Crock and I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, where it's just like everyone's marveling over the fact that it tastes like butter, but it isn't. Which by the way, none
chemicals.
Of these products taste like butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just yellow.
None of them taste like butter
melt.
And it's cancer. So it's like, yeah, right. it's yeah. So, well, yeah, I remember like, you know, Grey Poupon. I remember I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
One.
But Parquet, yeah. What was their, like, whole shtick?
So their whole thing was there would be, like, it would be, like, Parquet and Butter sort of, like, dueling. And the Parquet would be, like, Parquet. And then there would be a little thing of Butter that went, Butter. And it would just go over and over, Parquet, Butter, Parquet, Butter. so I don't know if that –
I'm looking
like, look
at
it
on YouTube sure. right now. No, I'm looking at it on YouTube right now.
Are you you seeing the one that I'm talking about?
I'm looking. I see 1981 Parquet margarine commercial. Let's see. I mean, you described it so well, so I'm sure. And guess what, you guys? As I'm playing this, the commercial I'm getting before this commercial, the commercial I'm trying to watch is one for the podcasting app that Sally and I are using right now. So all this computer does is just listen to us talk. And then feeds us ads for the exact stuff that we're already using. They should be better than that.
But in case you were wondering if, like, anyone's listening, the answer is yes.
Yeah,
I want to see if I can find the exact version of the commercial I'm talking to. I think this is it. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, I'm looking at a butler putting Parquet on bread on a silver tray. But, like, I would watch these commercials.
Are you listening to it?
I just press paused on it, but send me...
Yeah, no, that's, you're looking at the right one, but if you listen, you'll hear the, like, Parquet butter.
Oh, yes, I see it. Oh, I see it. Yes. Hold on. Yeah, Parquet butter, because the flavor says butter. These are good commercials. These are great commercials.
And I would watch them forever. They were telling a story. Like, you got a butler, like, he's doing a thing. I don't know. The world building in these commercials is just, like, to die for.
We had beginnings, middles, ends. We had stakes. The stakes were high.
We had storytelling.
We had conflict. We had conflict. We had resolution. Now we just have, are you depressed? No shit. Take this drug. And by the way, if you're allergic to it, don't take it. We have to tell you that. It's like
Right. Are you depressed? If so, take this. Sorry about the diarrhea. It's a side effect.
Yeah. It's like you won't gain weight. You will probably become suicidal. But, you know, that's one that goes on Bravo all the time. It's like, and good news, many people report that they're not gaining weight. Using this medication may increase thoughts of suicide. I'm like, wow, these are where our standards are. Like, I would rather maybe gain weight but not want to kill myself. But that's
it's
just
so
me.
Demented. It's
that
so demented.
Is just but, me.
What about what's your favorite childhood commercial?
Well, I have a few. So one of my favorite, well, a thing that I did in the early pandemic as a coping mechanism was I would take a weed gummy and I would YouTube like 4 hours. It would be like 4 hours of like 1990s, like Christmas commercials. And I would just like be stoned and like, cause oh my God, remember all the toy commercials? It was just like hands playing with toys.
That's what
amazing.
I was actually going to say. That's what I was going to say is that my favorite genre of commercial from childhood was kids playing with toys, and you
amazing.
Would just see them like playing with the toys. Yeah, that was amazing. Do they still do that? Are there still toys? Do kids play with toys, or do they just get iPhones?
I think they just get iPhones. And like, I hate being like, "Wow, you kids will never know." But like, you kids will never know.
They'll never know. You'll never know, kids.
Like, oh God. I mean, we can talk about the toys that we lusted after. Actually, you know what? I love that as a topic. Maybe we'll go back to streaming for another one. I mean, I love where we're going with this. So I had two favorite commercials. The other thing too, I'm just remembering just this nostalgic kind of look back onto television. Just remembering like when a rerun of your favorite show would come on and you would be like, oh, I hope it's the one where like this happens. Like there was no other way. I remember like Full House would come on or Saved by the Bell. I'd be like, please make it like the mystery like mansion series. And I would just run around the house screaming. My favorite commercial was for Ritz Bits Crackers.
Okay.
Into the Hole of the Mountain. That was the song, I think. It was like into the hole. No, into the mountain. Ritz. I'm trying to remember what that song was.
It doesn't ring a bell. I'm trying to.
It's like into. It's like dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah.
I forget what that is called, that song, but it plays in my head constantly.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was
anytime like MSNBC or Fox News is on. That's just like the sound in my head.
Exactly. And my body just starts vibrating to that
yeah,
beat.
Exactly.
But it was crackers in space, and it was like Ritz crackers meets cheese or Ritz crackers meets peanut butter. And it was just like, dun, 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 and it was like taste explosions. And I just loved that. I loved it.
That does actually kind of ring a bell.
I loved that. And I also loved, I was a really big fan of the Aerobed infomercial. It was that 30-minute long infomercial. You know, it was like you were either watching that, the news, or the 700 Club if you woke up before 7 a.m. And I was like, I will watch the infomercial. And they had two sumo wrestlers like on this Aerobed being like, see, it's not going to pop. And I was like, Mom, we have to get one. It's not going to pop.
that really does totally ring a bell.
I mean,
infomercials, like, I don't know if they're still like this, but they were so soothing to watch, especially the ones for like kitchen products.
Still, you know? So good. Sally, I'm telling you, weed gummy, cancel your plans. Just do like infomercial, QVC, kitchen gadgets, yeah. The 90s, incredible stuff.
That actually sounds like an amazing Saturday night. I do remember Aerobed now. That's incredible. Oh, wow. What a great trip down memory lane this is.
But when you're a kid, it's like, it's also, you know, now that I'm an adult, I'm like, there's so many air mattresses. I can't believe I have to own one. I spent like $100 on it. There's no room. But as a child, you're like, holy, you know, there's no Amazon. There's no instant gratification. You're like, we got to call this number. We got to make four easy payments of $29.95, Mom. It's four easy payments. And then just shipping and handling. And then we get this blow up bed that you could put two sumo wrestlers on and it wouldn't break. Like, I don't know why everyone is not buying this right now. Like, this is amazing. And
not one, but two sumo wrestlers.
And so when we invite all of our sumo wrestling friends over, which we never get to do because we're always afraid they're going to pop the mattress, all of our problems have been solved. That was the kind of stuff that I was just like, consumerism really, at a young age, I think really got me, especially because I have parents who just are very practical, don't spend a ton of money, don't like stuff, don't like buying the latest and greatest. That's just like not who they are. And I think that commercials gave me a window into like, wow, there are people out here who are going to see this and they have a credit card so they can make four easy payments of $29.95 and they're going to buy this bed and I want to live at their house because that's how I want to live my life.
They have all the fun stuff. They have a V slicer. Do you remember the V slicer?
No. It was like, what is that?
It was like a bunch of different, I think, basically just like mandolins.
Do you know
what I'm talking about? Mandolins. Mm-hmm. That allowed you to like slice produce in different ways.
Like a veggetti, as it came out later, like zoodles.
What?
Oh, the zoodle yes. maker is called a veggetti, Sally. Just
that's
so you know.
That's such bad branding. Or is it amazing branding?
Or is it amazing? I see. And you could chop a bagel.
You could chop. Yeah, you could. There's like nothing you couldn't chop. And it was just like completely mesmerizing. But like, I don't know if I'm saying this now, but it's not actually how I felt back then. But those commercials seemed really scammy. What I mean? Like they seem like a product that you're going to get. Like, did the Aerobed work? Was it a piece of crap? You know what I'm saying?
No, it's an airbed. I mean, I think it's like, you know, you get the stars and the glimmer and the glitz of what they're selling you. Is the same way they sell us anything right now. I just think we're all a little bit older. We're using our own money. But like, you know, they all the That's toys true. Always look so cool. You know, like all the clothes in the Instagram from the Instagram influencers I look at always look so good. Like I follow a ton of people who do like all these Amazon product things. And it's like, but what am I really looking at? I'm looking at their beautiful house and there's no mess and there's everything is the same color. And it's like, it just is sending you the same message that we got as kids, which is like, you buy this and everything in your life will suddenly make sense and everything will be better. And
you're so right. It's the exact same thing.
Plenty of stuff is shit. And I think like, you know, that's why here on G Thanks, it's like, let's wade through the shit. But also like one man's shit is another man's treasure, as the saying goes. So it's really about like, you know, I think it's rarely that it's like, wow, this thing is a huge scam, and more like, I didn't really need this. There's only so many times I'm slicing up, you know, a vegetable that I couldn't just do with my chef's knife. Like I didn't have to buy like a thing for it.
Right. Like it turns out that like when I have a Granny Smith apple, I'm just going to eat it. I'm going to hold it in my hand and eat it rather than put it through, get out a special piece of kitchen equipment and slice it and
That's
eat
right.
like a bowl of shredded apple.
That's right. Exactly. You'll use it twice.
Which on the commercial, it was like, well, that's how I want to eat an apple. I want to eat a bowl of shredded apple.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, even to this day, they'll get you with, I don't know if you get any ads for like the Always Pan on Instagram. Wow, Sally, I would love, you know what? I feel like everyone should just get a buddy and it's like switch ad targets for a day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to see someone else sees. Because there's stuff that I see nonstop and then someone else will post on Instagram like, oh my gosh, I've seen this ad like 700 times. I'm about to pull the trigger. I'm like, I've never seen that before in my life. Like, I want to see an ad for that. But the Always Pan was the equivalent of the V slicer, but for Instagram age. It was, you know, millennial pink, nonstick cookware.
And it kind of, I know what you're talking about.
It made it look like, oh my God, I will cook all the time. I'll cook those eggs. I'll cook these dumplings. I'll cook that thing. I'll make this rice. And it's like, no, it's just a pan in your house. And if you didn't cook before, you're not going to cook anymore because of this pan. And that's, I think, the thing that unfortunately our adult brains, we've lost the magic in that way.
It's true. But I also think that we have a thing. I feel like Don Draper spoke to this very eloquently, like early in Mad Men, although maybe it sort of continued throughout. But I feel like he was just always being like, look, it's about like wishing you had love and being lonely and knowing that you're going to die one day. That's why people buy things. And it's like, that's why when the pan comes in my feed, like I'm probably just going to buy it, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's how you get a shopping podcast. Here's how this becomes your entire personality. Take that, like, nine. I am the Don Draper of our time. It's going to be me at the end of my life sipping a Coke, meditating. Sorry,
perfect.
Spoiler alert if you haven't finished Mad Men yet, which I
spoiler
haven't.
Spoiler for the end of Mad Men.
I didn't
finish
Mad Men.
Oh, you just know about it?
I just know about it because you couldn't escape it. You know what I mean?
It's couldn't, yeah.
You couldn't get escape. And I just read all this. I don't know. I love like, spoiling things for myself. When Harry Met Sally, Harry in that way. When he's like, if I die, then at least I know how the book ends. I'm like, that's
energy. A really good call. No, I mean, spoiling, I feel like both avoiding spoilers and spoiling yourself are a way of life. And it's just sort of like, there are two kinds of people. You know? And it's like, which one are you?
Yeah. And also you can also be both of those kinds of people, but picking where you want to be spoiled and where you don't. And just like what, you know, when do you ruin it for yourself and when do you refuse to ruin it for yourself? Do you remember, because you're a little bit older than me, but do you remember as a kid a toy that looked so amazing, you never got it for one reason or another, you know, it did not show up for the holidays or your parents said you couldn't have it? Do you remember coveting something from a commercial?
I mean, I actually remember coveting something that I got and it sucked.
Oh, let's hear about it.
Does that fit? Because that's the thing that comes to mind.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so there was this toy called an Etch-A-Sketch animator. Are you familiar with this?
I mean, I know what an Etch-A-Sketch is, but I don't know what an Etch-A-Sketch animator is.
So an Etch-A-Sketch animator is like the greatest trick the devil ever pulled because it's like an Etch-A-Sketch except that it has batteries. And
this looks sick.
What it's supposed to let you do is basically draw a bunch of different things and then like animate them together. The problem is that like, so what you see in the commercial is like someone doing all kinds of cool things, animating something, and it just looks cool and it's really awesome. When you get it, you are just you're a small child who has these knobs that create that, like, you know, you turn it in either direction and you get these little gray squares and you're capable only of drawing really crude things in gray squares and
boobs.
Animating it is like really hard, especially because I don't know. I think like you're probably of an age where you would remember this to some extent. Like when we were kids, like technology never worked. Nothing ever worked.
Nothing ever worked.
If you went to hit print, for some reason, the thing wouldn't print. If you were on a Mac and you emailed
I still have PTSD from when the family printer wouldn't work and my dad like yelling at me. Like every time it was like my fault. And I'm like, I didn't do it. And it was always jammed.
It's always jammed. Or like if you wrote something and you saved it on a disk on a Mac and then you tried to open it on a PC, it just straight up wouldn't work. Like truly nothing nothing that was technological or relied on,
yes,
like computers,
that's right,
worked well, or it was like really hard to use. And so the Etch-a-Sketch Animator, like I got it, I don't know, I want to say like 87 or something. I should actually look it up and see when I got it. But like in the commercial, you see a kid making like a train and it moves. In reality, when you get the thing, it's so hard to make it.
Yeah, because you're not an animator.
You're not an animator. The technology is crude. You're a tiny child with like tiny child manual dexterity. And I lusted after this thing and yeah. Like I begged my parents for it. And my parents are not very big, like expensive toy people. They're just like, no. And it was like $50 or something like that. And they're like, no, we're not spending that much money on a toy. That's ridiculous. You have like your brother's old toys and stuff like that. But
yes.
Somehow, some way, I convinced them to get it. And I got it and it sucked so bad. It's like one of the biggest bummers of my life is just like it's like the expectation versus reality of the Etch-a-Sketch Animator.
Wow. I believe it. And I can absolutely feel that feeling, remember that feeling, and also draw a parallel of that feeling to every time I see a commercial for like a Microsoft Surface netbook that's like, I love being a fashion designer when I have my Microsoft version and like, here's my stylus and I just made a dress. And I'm like, if I got that netbook, I would be a fashion designer. It's the same thing. The technology is only as good as the person, at least in 2022. Like in the 80s, there was also like a 50-50 chance that you'd like go on to the computer and be like, it's not working today. You'd have to be like, okay.
Thank you. Aren't you shocked anytime you like plug something in? Even I hit print and something prints out and I'm like pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
It'll never leave me.
Yes. The fact that like my phone just works and I text people and it goes through. Like there's just, I don't know. Do you remember putting like a CD-ROM into a tower and it getting like jammed or stuck, or it would be like, can't read. And then like some adult would be like yelling at you. And it was like, all I did was I picked it up in the donut hole and on the edge and I put it in and I didn't scratch it. Why are you mad at me? And it was just like, yeah, sometimes this isn't going to work. Or like sometimes you'd be writing something and there was no autosave. There was like no nothing. It's like your computer just turned off. I'm like, oh, okay. All that went to shit.
It's like, we're done here. The computer is like, well, I'm not going to participate in this anymore.
Yeah.
Everything was really fragile. And if you sort of breathed the wrong way,
yeah,
something broke or you lost all your work. And that was just how it was. Yeah. 100%.
My friend's 13-year-old, I was explaining to him how we both had to pay 20 cents to send a text before 9 p.m., but also if we got a text, it would cost us 20 cents. And he was like, the fuck? He didn't believe me, honestly. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't believe me either. It sounds insane. Like, what?
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
What was I watching recently where they made a reference to, like, might have been, like, New Girl or something.
Or, like, Pen 15.
I don't watch that because it's, like, too cringy. It makes me, like,
it's like
too
much.
I get too nervous.
Yeah, I got it.
But it was, like, something where, like, someone was talking about having bought a bunch of minutes or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That is how it used to be.
Yeah. You had to buy minutes and you only had X texts a month. Insane. I'm remembering.
Can't believe we lived that way.
I know. We were such pod people. I think the two things were both that I like coveted so much and I had one and I got one and I did not get the other. Was the Talk Boy, the Home Alone Talk Boy.
What is that? That sounds so
familiar.
Do you
remember, like, in Home Alone, Kevin's, like, he, like, records things, and then there's, like, a voice changer, so he could be like, it's Peter McAllister, the father. I want to... And he could fool the people at the Plaza Hotel with his Talk Boy.
Yes,
it was
just, oh,
it was
my
a
God.
Literal tape deck with a microphone, and the commercial was the babysitter or the older sister was with her boyfriend, like on the couch, and the little kid comes behind them and like either plays a sound and interrupts their kissing or like tapes them kissing. I'll find the commercial and I'll put them all in the show notes for this.
I totally
It's just a tape deck.
I'm watching it now. It's very simply a tape deck.
But I was like, no, this is, like, I could do so much with it. I could eavesdrop. I could play back what I eavesdropped. Like, there's like unlimited things I could do here.
I could do a million things from eavesdropping to playing back what I eavesdropped. Yeah.
And I could only name two at the moment, but I could get back to you about the other millions exactly. of things I could do. I thought that was so funny. In a real, like, gender insanity moment, they made a talk girl. It was pink, but it was the same technology.
Amazing.
But I wanted the talk boy because I was like, Kevin from Home Alone had the talk boy. That's what I want. I don't want the talk girl.
Was the talk girl the same thing, just pink?
Same thing, just pink, called the talk girl. You know.
Incredible.
You know, the 90s Absolutely were weird. Incredible. The 90s were weird.
That's so weird.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And then the other thing, which I did have, but it was in response to me not actually getting the thing. I wanted a Game Boy so bad. My uncle, mm-hmm. who was like 26 at the time, I was like 5 or 6. He had a Game Boy that had Tetris, and he would bring it over, and I would get to play it. And I was just, it was the big one. It was the big, thick, original Game Boy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was all I wanted. My parents were like, we're not buying you a Game Boy. You're 7 years old. And what they bought me instead was a Beauty and the Beast handheld electronic game.
And okay,
it was one game branded or whatever. But I would bring it around with me like it was my Game Boy. And so I would be like, I'd like,
So you were into it. It was like an okay substitute. That's
no,
cool.
But you know, when you're, it was until it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I also wanted a laptop when I was a kid. Like, I wanted technology. My parents were like, we are not buying you a laptop. Like, I the thing that's so funny is that there are 8-year-olds today who absolutely have their own laptops. Like,
yeah, and like iPads and stuff like
yes.
that.
Yes. All I wanted was my own computer. My parents like knew better. They were like, we can't let you have it.
I feel like our brains were not evolved enough as like kids who grew up in the 80s to have, if a time traveler came from this era, came back into the 80s or 90s and gave us like an iPad or a laptop, we would just be we would go into a fugue state never to emerge. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think we were ready.
I honestly feel like I am in a fugue state. Like, I feel like even though the onset of technology really kind of came to be after I had gone through puberty, I still feel like I got ruined by it.
We've all been ruined. I think that's right. We all need to just face up to that.
We do. I mean, we're ruined. And if the last couple of years haven't, we had those we threw rocks and picked up sticks in our childhood, and today's kids had the pandemic and iPads. So we all have our cross to bear, I suppose.
It's true. We all do have our cross to bear.
I really want you and Andrea to have a moment in the next couple of weeks where you both get extremely stoned or like even just the tiniest drunk and just watch commercials, because it is so... This was a real pandemic comfort for me. I thought it was so much fun. Like the Hess truck. Like, also at every commercial, like, I remember that. I remember that toy. And you're right. You have this moment where you're like, are there toys? Are there toys? Do toys exist? Are toys a thing?
We'll definitely do that, because we got on like a little mini binge where I was trying to explain the parquet butter thing to her. And then that got us like on a little thing of like talking about old commercials. And there's this like weird thing that happens where do you know that thing where you remember something that otherwise would have never, it's like you've essentially forgotten it. It would never come back into your mind unless it was
course.
Like specifically prompted, you know?
Yes.
Like that, I find that sensation to be really interesting and weird and cool. And one thing that makes me have it is watching old commercials where someone says something and even just like the inflection in their voice brings you back and you're like, oh my God, I remember that. And if you
it like opens
asked
a,
me,
a portal it, to like
exactly
all
it opens
these,
a portal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the wildest thing. And I really like having that. It's sort of like trippy and weird. And I like having that experience. So yeah, we'll definitely get involved with that.
I love that. I have that with music sometimes. Like sometimes I listen to a song and I'm like, I know this song and I know I loved this song and I can't place at what point in my life I was listening to this song on repeat. And it's like, that is just such a rare occurrence because I usually can mark the passage of time by music. But like sometimes you'll just hear a song and you're like, wait a minute, was that like for 3 months, my junior year of high school, I never stopped listening to the song. And then I never thought of it again. And then I never heard it again. It never showed up again. It never randomly played. I went a decade without listening to the song. And then all of a sudden it just comes on the radio or on a shuffle or like on some playlist, someone else's playlist. And I'm like, oh my God, portal. It's really true. Yeah. It's really true.
And you know every word.
You know every word.
Beat, all
inflection.
Yeah.
Someone totally. Did that with like a real like B-side Sister Hazel song the other day, like put it on their Instagram story. And I was like singing along and I was like, how do I know that? Like, where did it come from? How do I know? Oh, I love your 76ers koozie.
Thank you so much. Andrea got me a fan kit or something for my birthday. And it had like,
oh my God,
this. It had a
pennant. I need the link for Dan.
I'll send you the link.
Okay,
I'll send you
please.
The link. It had a towel. Like, I don't know. It's like a courtside towel. I love that.
We're always courtside. So that would be helpful.
Yeah. So I need to mop the sweat off my brow when I'm sitting courtside.
Wow. I love this kind of the first things that we were influenced by. Like, I love that idea.
Yeah. And I have to say, you have me thinking also about a clothing item that
tell
I
me.
Wanted really badly.
Tell me, okay. Tell me everything.
Do you remember LA Gear sneakers?
Yes.
Okay. There was this one, I'm actually going to send you a picture of it. There's this one pair of LA Gear that I wanted really bad. And I think that it actually does say something about my aesthetic as an adult because I would totally like wear these. But they had like on the side, they had these like pieces of fabric that were sort of twisted and you could see two colors in them. I don't know how else to describe it. Let me send you a picture. But these were pink and green, very like 80s colors. I'm going to put it in the chat in here. Wait, do you see, is this a?
You could text it to me. Let me see. Do I see the thing? Let's see.
I just clicked chat in Riverside.
Oh, it did show up. Yes, it did. Okay, here we go. Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah, with the Velcro and
the Velcro.
So those are kind of like back.
Are they really?
I mean, like that type of shoe, right? Like I'm thinking about sneaker wedges, you know, which had a moment like 10 years ago. Isabel Marant sneaker wedges. But like, oh, yeah, this is like a real and you would wear it with like a tube sock.
A tube. Yeah, tube sock. Or like a slouch sock. I got I wanted these so bad. So they're basically white high tops and they have shoelaces, three different colors, white, pink and green. And then on the side are these like, I don't really know how else to explain it, but there's like kind of a little detail of like twisted pieces of fabric where you can see the pink, the green in the background. And then the fabric is pink on one side and white on the other. They're just very like, You see these and you're like, I should be aerobicizing is like what they make you think of, you know?
You're like, I should
and
be
I wanted
just
these
sweating
really
to the oldies. I love
I should
these
be sweating to the oldies.
So cool.
And my mom, bless her, like went to a bunch of different stores to like find me a pair. And so this is a success story. This is
good.
I was obsessed with them. I got them. I wore them. And it was like yeah, it was amazing. It was great. And I think about these shoes all the time. I feel like if I had them again, I would wear them.
I love these. LA Gear is still in business.
Are they still a thing? I was wondering about that.
Let's see.
I feel like I don't see them that often.
It seems, unless something else, and it seems to have a store in LA, unless it's something else. You know what I mean? It's like, unless you're just searching LA Gear. Let's see. I mean, it's just a different... Dan is very into Swatch watches from the 80s. and Puma shoes from the 90s. And it's like a whole thing. Dan's like a sneakerhead, but for sneakers, nobody wants. So
that's incredible.
It makes his life a lot easier because he's not, you know, fighting with like teenagers over like specific drops. Like, he's hey, did Jerry Seinfeld wear these in 1992? I would like them.
Then I want them. what did you just say? Pumas.
80s Swatch watches and 90s Pumas.
Oh, Swatch. I love Swatch watches a lot. The thing that always holds me back, and I'd love to hear Dan's thoughts on this, is that they tick really loudly. Does it not bother him?
Interesting.
I'm a little bit of
I'm gonna ask him.
I'm kind of a nightmare. Like, very faint smells, soft noises bother me.
So you have misophonia like I do, which they say is not a real thing, but I know it's real because I have it.
What's misophonia?
Misophonia is like little tiny noises that like otherwise would not bother anyone else, like send you into a fucking spiral.
Yeah, I 100%.
Like,
I'm
if someone's
like,
chewing weird, you're like, oh my God,
it's too loud.
Yeah.
It smells too fragrant, and everyone else is like, I hear nothing and I smell nothing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. No, I'm now looking at like 90s commercials, like, and it's just every single one that I'm looking at, scrolling through on YouTube is like, oh, I remember that. I remember that. Like, the portal continues to open.
Yeah. I mean, everyone is a gem, you know?
Yeah. If it took batteries and it was made from 84 to like 97, I wanted it and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember Mondo drinks?
Mondo drinks.
It was like red and blue in like a plastic, and it was just like the sweetest juice. I'm looking at that commercial now.
My parents would never let me have that kind of stuff.
No.
My parents were very anti
sugar.
Their thing was sugared cereals was a big no-no in our house.
Never.
As was any sort of, not even for like health reasons. I think they were, but like juices like this, I don't even think they would have like articulated as in like, it's not healthy. It was just more like they see a blue liquid in a sealed plastic container and they're like, that's not something we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. We weren't, no. We could have a sugared cereal once in a blue moon as a dessert.
Oh, that's amazing.
Never as a breakfast. Now I'm on the, do you remember the Dear Diary? It was like the handheld electronic diary. No. Oh God. Oh. I'm going to link all the, but it's like, imagine wanting a phone, but there was no phone. So you had 12,000 different like battery operated electronics with.
I do remember those.
You know what I mean? It was like just everything. Oh,
this was
God.
This is made by Tiger Electronics, which I think also made Etch-a-Sketch Animator. I think they
and
made
the Talk
all
Boy.
Of the
and they made everything.
And the Talk Boy. Amazing, amazing. Maybe they didn't make Etch-a-Sketch, but yeah, they made
no,
all
they
of
did.
These little handheld things.
They did.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. I was just looking. They did. The only thing they didn't make was parquet butter, but everything else, they had us. Wow. I'm looking at a commercial for Zoo Books. Do you remember Zoo Books? Do you remember?
Zoo Books.
Was,
I see. I need to.
Did you do, when you were a kid, did you do the wrapping paper sales?
Yes.
And then you'd get a catalog of like what you could win if you sold enough wrapping paper. And I would just pour over that catalog being like, I'm going to sell 300,000 rolls of wrapping paper and I'm going to win this handheld TV. And my mom's like, it's not happening. And now
it's never happening.
Kids,
I do remember this.
Kids
yeah.
these days have their own websites for their Girl Scout cookies. I ordered like 20 boxes from my friend's daughter who lives in like Massachusetts. It was great for me. But like we had to go door to door, you know? That's
you
crazy.
To, oh my God. You had to go door to door and be like, do you want to buy wrapping paper?
And everyone's
oh
like, no, I have my own kids and I had to buy it from
I
them.
I have my own
it's
children.
Like, it's like, I don't want to buy wrapping paper. My parents wouldn't even buy it from me. Sad.
It's such a racket. Can you imagine like buying wrapping paper from your child's school thing?
The craziest thing is that I went to a extremely wealthy public school, like every resource you could want. And the fact that they were still making us hawk this shit for ourselves when like we could have been doing it for other schools that didn't have, you know what I mean? Like it was just weird. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. I look back on it now and I'm like, this is weird. Just weird. Like our tax dollars more than paid for like anything we needed the money for. I don't know why they made the kids go home and like sell shit to like,
it's such a weird,
it's
like
weird.
Capitalism thing.
Yes.
I don't even, yeah. It's hard to wrap one's mind around.
I honestly, like, am so excited. Like, okay, so full disclosure, everybody, we were going to talk about our streaming, our favorite streaming sites, the shows that we've been watching, rewatching, the things that have held up. And because Sally's going to come co-host with me a few episodes, we're going to do that episode another time because we got really off course, but like in the best way possible. Because now, I mean, if I could go back in time, okay, here's the question we'll end on.
Okay.
You get to go back in time and you get take into consideration inflation. You know, let's just pretend inflation isn't real because I can't do math. But you get a
sure.
you get a check from your grandparents for your birthday, and the check's for $100. What is the first thing you're gonna buy? You're a kid, and it's not about parents saying yes or no. You can go crazy. There are no rules. What are you going to buy?
Okay. I'm so glad you asked because I have an answer.
I'm ready.
Instantly comes to mind. So there was this thing called the Big Track, T-R-A-K, which I'm going to just send you the Wikipedia page for it because it has a picture.
Oh, I'm looking at YouTube.
Oh, you got it.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. I've never seen this.
Yeah, it was basically like, it looked like a kind of futuristic, like, tank.
Yeah,
or,
like a battleship kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, and it was allegedly programmable. And so it had like a little panel with like numbers and then like a couple of other buttons on the top. And you could program it to like do various things. I think it could carry things and then dump them out. And I was completely obsessed with it. I must have seen like one of my brother's friends have it. Or so. I have three older brothers. And so there's a lot of stuff I'm familiar with that's like technically before my time because they were so much older than me.
Yeah.
And I was like completely obsessed with this thing. And it was never anything my parents would have ever bought me because I think it was fairly expensive. So
right.
Definitely the Big Track.
Wow. I've never seen this before. And so now I'm like gonna go down like a really big wormhole.
Yeah, no, do that because it's like it's a deep cut. It came out in 1979, which is why probably I don't think it was like around for a really long time, but that's probably why because it was like it was even before my time. My one of my brother's friends must have had it, but I was like completely obsessed with it. And as soon as you said what would you get, I was like, oh,
you're like it still is like it's like in you.
There's still a hole in my heart. I wonder if I can get one on eBay.
You definitely could. They're everywhere. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
This is how all terrible habits start. I'm going to become like an 80s toy collector.
I know. But you know what, though?
But that's
like,
fine.
Look, the joy. You have to find the joy.
Yeah. Like, it's like, what else am I going to do?
You have to.
Oh, God, there's one for $50.
$50. You have to do it.
I have to do it.
You have to buy it. You have to buy it.
Yeah, I think I might have to.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
What about yours? What's your thing that you would go back and buy?
So there was a doll from 1994 called Jenny the Gymnast. and no one would ever let me have it. And it was also, I was a little, I'm sending you a chat with it.
Okay.
Jenny the Gymnast. In 1994, I was probably like a little too old for like the doll craze.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
It was, but also though, you have to remember, this became very big. It came out in 1994, but it became a really big deal in 1996 with the Atlanta Olympics.
Right.
Because the gymnastics team, the Magnificent Seven, was like all the rage. And so I would stand in my living room and be like, Dad, watch my cartwheel. And I would like never turn a cartwheel. I would just like always like do a lot of prep for a cartwheel, but I would never actually do a cartwheel. This doll.
Just do a somersault.
I would just do a somersault, or I would like do like a sort of like bent leg, like, yeah. And then my dad would be like, great. This doll had a remote control. Mm-hmm. Of course, no Bluetooth. The literal wire coming out
a
of her
wire,
ass.
A literal wire.
into a remote control. But her legs could do like splits and her arms could go like this and you could like turn her over. And I just remember, like, that was, and it was expensive because, like, anything with a remote control was going to run you, like, $79.99 in 1994, which is just, like, no one would ever buy that for a kid, you know? And
right, totally.
The Santa Claus that came to my house did not buy like remote controlled gymnast dolls. So this is where I would go. I think this is really the thing I would love.
She's doing a full on like floor routine.
Yes, she's like hitting her arms are up, her legs are split. She's like pointed toes. She has like a bouffant sort of hairstyle that's like very not 90s, which is interesting. She looks
it's
like,
really impressive.
Yeah.
The stuff that they're able to make her do.
Right. She's amazing. Jenny the gymnast.
Jenny's amazing. But I wonder if this was one of those toys where when you actually get it and are trying to control it, you know, it would be like you starting to do the somersault where it's just like.
Where she
just like flops over. Yeah. Yeah.
Or like you have her turn three somersaults and you're like, okay.
Okay. And we're done.
We're done. And that was a really good use of money. So, okay.
Totally.
I love this. And I think I am overdue for a night in with my stories, AKA commercials on YouTube. I might honestly go to the weed store after we record our next episode and gear myself up. Like, this is like a nice, this is, we are now our grandparents wanting to talk to us about the Little Orphan Annie radio show, and they used to gather around the radio and listen to, and we were like, okay.
It's so true. You go to the weed store and be like, what is the strain? Show me the strain that you enjoy when you're watching.
Yeah, I want YouTube like videos of a nice from the 90s. Upper. I want a munchies. I want to be munchie induced. I want to be happy. I don't want to get into a state of like existential crisis. I don't want to think about capitalism even. I don't want to think about all of this plastic somewhere in a landfill.
Right,
I just want to be happy.
Weird like melancholy feelings about having like less life ahead of you than behind you or like whatever.
Whatever goes well with Zoloft is what I want to pick up
totally.
The weed store. This was so fun, Sally. We will, now that we have talked about our influential purchases and commercials from the 90s, we will get to our streaming television episode for one of your another guest episode. But I'm so glad it took the turn that it did.
I am too. That was really, really fun. And I feel like we could even do like a part 2 through 5 because things are now coming to mind.
I think we might have to. We might have to. Absolutely. We will link to all of the products that we were talking about. Unfortunately, you probably can't buy them. And if you can, they're at a markup on eBay, but you have your own money now. You do what you want to do. Do not buy the Big Track because that's Sally's. And
It turns out that all the Big Tracks on eBay are not working and they're just for parts. And there's a few of them. So you actually can get a Big Track if you
okay,
want.
Go for
I think
it.
There's enough to go around.
I don't know that anyone's looking for a Big Track for parts because I don't know if the parts go anywhere else but some other Big Track. But I love it. We will definitely do this episode again. I'll link to all of the different YouTube commercials that we talked about, but also the big compilations. And if I get a response, I mean, if I get a good result from the weed store, I'll share that too. And we'll see you next week for another episode of G-Thanks.
You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at GThanksJustBoughtItPod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at caroline@gthanksjustbought.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/gthanksandfriends.